to Hebrews chapter 4. We'll be referring to a number of verses today, and our subject will be that of touching, and it has a variety of applications. The Lord has really encouraged my heart going over this subject, because if ever was a time where we need to know the touch of God in our lives, it is today. Hebrews chapter 4, for the very first one, and verse 15, if you will, please, of Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly, or with confidence. The idea here is not with arrogance, you know. You don't barge into the presence of the Lord. That's not the thought. These old English words were meant well, but what they meant 200 years ago, it doesn't mean the same today. So we come boldly, or we come with confidence, you know, without any fear, because of a wonderful relationship we now have with the Lord. Isn't that lovely? You don't have to be afraid to come before Him. But with great reverence, you know, you don't just barge into the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, wait a minute, me first, I'm here. That's not the idea at all. Let us therefore now come with confidence unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If there's ever been a day where we need the divine touch of the Lord Jesus, and this is a touch of sympathy, it is now. And it's nice to know that whatever the infirmity, many times when we speak of infirmities, we think of a physical infirmity. While it is true, God in His graciousness touches the physical side of mankind, and He does give healing in some instances. Other instances, He does not. He leaves you sick. He has a divine sovereign purpose in all of these things. But that doesn't mean that He doesn't touch you. He's always there to touch, because it's a healing or a touch of sympathy. I thank God for this touch of sympathy. It is very important because, as I said, not just physical ailment, but people who need a touch of sympathy because they have other areas in their life that they need this help. You'd be amazed how many people need encouragement. You'd be amazed how many people need their faith strengthened. You'd be amazed how many Christians are hurting because of failure in their life. A touch of sympathy. He's always there. He's there to come to your aid, to our assistance, because He's a master at it. And He knows what our need is. Sometimes long before we recognize our own need, He knows our need. Oh, what a Savior. He's a Savior who has a sympathizing touch. And He's touched with the feelings. That feeling could be pain. That feeling could be poverty. Remember, being that He is Lord, He is also touched with the feelings, as Brother Gerald was talking about this morning, with loneliness. He gives you a touch of sympathy in these areas of your life. Sometimes you may feel rejected. He gives you a touch of sympathy because of your rejection. You may be rejected by society, but you will never be rejected by God. Many times we cut ourselves off. That is, we do not enjoy the fellowship with the Lord, as you heard Him say many times. While you cannot lose your salvation, if you really have salvation, make sure you do. But you can certainly lose your fellowship with the Lord. You can lose your salvation, but you can lose your joy. You can lose your power. You can lose your strength. But you can never lose your salvation. But thank God, He's always there to restore. It's a touch of restoration. Oh, there have been many a believer who has done this in their life. And I look at the Word of God, and I've gone over these verses, and my heart is so blessed. I've been late hours last evening, and I think of that dear woman who had an issue of blood. Remember, as she came and pressed through the crowd, you know, some people would have been discouraged. Some people might have given up. Just imagine. And there was a tremendous crowd pressing around the Lord Jesus. 12 years she was sick, and she was weak in her body. But the persistence of this woman always causes me to marvel. I have one woman I want to see when I get home to glory. I said, did you feel like giving up sometimes, or you felt so weak, and you felt bad in your body? You know the type of illness she had? There was that loss of blood for 12 years. And life is in the blood. And there that poor soul, I suppose she said, pardon me, please let me through. And maybe some were upset with her, but she kept at it. She was persistent. And what did she say? If I could only but, what? Touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And her persistence, she made it. And she got the blessing. And the virtue emanated from the body of the Lord Jesus. And she felt that touch or that power in her being. That was a touch of power, of course. And thank God for the touch of his presence, as we just had in Hebrews 4:15. And we need this touch every day in our life. And it's good to enjoy this. What a triumphant moment for her, as she had her health restored, and she had a spiritual life as well given to her. As a result of her faith, that touch of healing that came to her, and you have that in Mark, or Matthew chapter 9, in fact, several of the Gospels, you'll find that occasion. A touch of power. I think of Isaiah, and I read this, believe me, I read this with prayer, and Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 7. Remember when he got that vision, and he there of the sanctuary, and he saw the angelic host, and their wings that were touching one another, and they were saying, holy, holy, holy. And then one of the angels took the tongue or the coal and touched the lips of the very prophet of God. And with that, he cried, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But when God touched his lips, what did he say? Lord, send me. I want to tell you, beloved, that was a touch of divine power in the life of the prophet. Whatever was wrong with Isaiah, he gives it himself. Apparently, his very heart was cold. It doesn't mean that he was involved in immoral sins or anything like that. But the prophet recognized there was a lack of power, maybe in his ministry or in his life. Or maybe he was hesitant to declare the whole counsel of God. And he wasn't preaching all of the truth of the Word of God. But when the angel touched his lips, my friend, let me tell you, when God touched your lips, and we ask God to touch our lips every day of our life. Believe me, every day. You ever say something and you wonder, what in the world did you say that for? Sometimes if I could kick myself, I would. But I can't. It's the hardest thing in the world to kick yourself. You ever tried it? You'll fall down flat on your face. But you feel like doing it. And none of us are exempt from this. If you say that you've got perfect lips, that you never say the wrong thing, come shake my hand. I want to shake hands with the saintliest person in the world. Okay? But you know, our mouth is like this. We say these words. They escape our lips. But it's because we know that we're weak. It doesn't mean that we can't ask the Lord to touch our lips, right? You know what I mean? Though we do fail, and I fail in this, yet it is still good for him to touch our lips. Not to prevent us, listen now, this is important, not only to prevent us from saying the wrong thing, but to touch our lips that we might say the things that will glorify him, such as a little word of witness to the unconverted. Lord, touch my lips that I might let them know that you're the Savior of the world. Lord, touch my lips that I might draw near to somebody who needs a little word of encouragement. You know, put your arm around them. And say, you know, I know what you're going through. I've been there. I know what you're feeling, you see. Now, some of us can always share that same touch of sympathy because we have not been there. But you'd be surprised how many people need a little encouragement today, a little word. And you might hear me say that many, many times. And you might say, Brother Perry, I've heard you say that again. But it's still necessary. Lord, touch my lips. I want to say the right things. I want to say a word of encouragement to the people of God. I want to say the right thing to my family members. Sometimes, This is where we really balk or where we really go wrong. And it's not always easy. Sometimes we say it in the wrong attitude, in the wrong manner. But we don't do it intentionally sometimes, but they just slip out. They escape our lips. But oh, that He might touch our lips and that He might be able to help us and give us the strength to be able to speak forth the things. I know one thing, that this man, Isaiah, when his lips were touched, he said, Lord, send me. Send him where? Send him out to declare the counsel of God. And he had to preach a very awkward message. God told him to go and preach. He said, and they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to believe you. They're not even going to hear. It'll go in one ear and out the other. But I want you still to preach it. Boy, I tell you, that would be a hard message to go out and go about preach, isn't it? Hearing they will hear, but yet not hear or will not respond. And the prophet had to go out. He said, Lord, send me. You ever think of that? You know, sometimes you hear it, and often we give, I don't like to call it an altar call because, commonly speaking, you know what we mean by it. Somebody might ask Christians from the pulpit if you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. You feel you want to be closer to Him. You know, well, it's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I remember some time ago down in the Methodist church when that godly pastor was there. And all through his message, this is what he was preaching. I may be speaking to a preacher or preachers, a servant of God, or a Sunday school teacher that want to be used more of the Lord. I didn't hesitate. You know why? Because already he didn't know, but I was asking the Lord that I might be used in a greater way for Him. And whether He has or not, that's the Lord's business. But He knew my heart. I went forward. You say, it took a lot of courage. Not so much as courage. It's because if anything is missing, I wanted it. If God is going to infuse me with more power in my ministry just by getting up and babbling and preaching and opening my mouth and making a lot of noises, I don't want to go through the balance of my life like that. I want the ministry to be effective. And I don't have much time left in this world. If the Lord be not come, let's face fact and face reality. And therefore the balance of my day. What is wrong for the preacher going forth and getting on his knees and saying, Lord, I want to be used more by You. Responding to what the preacher said. Touched my heart because I knew I needed more and I still need more. And I pray to God every day to be more used of Him. This is not pride. This is just recognizing that we're clay in the hands of the Almighty God. This only means that we're willing to admit whatever the lack in our life, Lord, I want You to fill it. What's wrong with that? Beloved, let me tell you, our land would be a better land. Our churches would be more effective. And there'd be more power if we could come face to face with these issues in life. I don't mean to go forth for salvation all the time. No, you've got it in your heart. And I don't even mean to come for rededication when a preacher gives an altar call, so-called, to come every month or every 2 weeks. I don't mean that either, because it's an everyday affair you could do in the privacy of your room and of your study. Lord, touch me. You know, every day before you go out, whatever your devotion, if it's at night or in the morning, Lord, touch my life. Touch my lips. Send me, Lord. Help me to declare some word of encouragement. Help me to be like that woman, at least had a knowledge that if she could only touch but the hem of Your garment, there would be power in her body. And that woman, with her persistence, she obtained it. You know? Some of us sometimes, like the woman, she heard the screeching of the car and the broken glass, and she went outside in the street, and there were three people bleeding profusely, broken bones, deep gashes. And you know what she told somebody after that? She said, boy, it's a good thing I had that first aid course. I put my head down between my knees and, you know, I didn't faint. That's what she took a first aid course for. To know how not to faint. instead of coming to the aid and the assistance of those poor people that were there in broken, bleeding bodies. All she was concerned about is her own feelings, her own self, so she wouldn't faint. And she took a first aid course. Really ridiculous when you think of it, isn't it? Oh, beloved, listen. You and I are planted here in Spanish Wells, not by accident, but by a sovereign power of choice by God. But we're here to touch a life for Him. We're here to touch people for His glory. We're here to be instruments in the hands of the Almighty God. You might be sent like Marty to South America, or you might be just sent here to, in your circle, and by the way, your home circle. Well, let me tell you, nothing is more valuable than your home circle, your family, your children. Touch that precious little life for the glory of God. Let it be molded for Him, and the Lord will honor you for it. You know, speaking of a touch of support, touch of sympathy, and a touch of help, touch of power, there was a man once who was traveling through a blizzard. And he stumbled over something. And digging in the snow, it turned out to be the body of another man. But he noticed that the man was still alive, although nearly frozen to death. Now, he had a choice to make. He said, I don't have that much strength in this blizzard to carry him. And he was ready to leave, and then he thought for a moment. He said, I cannot. Because he said to him, he would be like a murderer. So he got down, and he picked that man up, put that man over his back, and trounging through the snow, he fell several times, and he finally made it to a cabin. To his amazement, the warmth of his body had somehow saved the life of the person he picked up. And the fact, too, that he was walking through the snow with a burden like that caused the blood to exhilarate, and the stimulation is what helped him. He was unaware of this, and when he got in the cabin, he felt well, no frostbites on his feet or nothing, and this fellow opened his eyes and began to talk. Just the warmth of his body, the touch, is what saved this man that wasn't even a friend. But because he made a choice, he couldn't leave him in the snow to die. I don't know how many of you have ever heard of the Iroquois Theater burning, one of the worst disasters of a theater. There are many of them, but the Iroquois Theater, people were trampling one another, just like animals. Well, they were desperate. It was a move for survival, I guess. One lady got out kind of early, and she walked over these bodies. As she got out, some of them were in pain, and she went out of that theater, and she escaped. Her family was so glad and friends. But that night, she was tormented in her mind. You know why? She said, I crossed and walked over those people, and I never tried to help one. She said, but don't look at it that way. Think of yourself. You owe it to yourself. And so she tried to satisfy her mind. And the next day, and the next day, and the only thing that kept coming to her mind again and again and bothered her conscience for years, she never got over it. And she kept telling, but I never tried to help anybody. Oh, beloved, can you go through life? Can you envision yourself going through life 60 years, 70 years or whatever, and never trying to help at least somebody? Think of it. Why did God put you here? You're more than just a human body and flesh. You're more than just blood coursing through your veins and get 3 meals a day and a good night's rest or sleep. God has put us here for a specific purpose. And it's nice to know what that purpose is. It's nice to know that we, with His help, have the ability to touch a life for God. That's what this subject is all about today. As He touched me, that I might touch others. And you have that ability. You can touch people that we can't touch. I'm not speaking in physical terms now. I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. You can touch people in your circle of life that I can't touch. But touch them for God's glory, you see. You can do it. God will give you the help and He'll give you the strength. As He touched John Newton was a man that cursed. The vulgarity was so bad that his family couldn't stand him. His friends and associates couldn't stand him. I mean, here's a man that went sunk so low into sin that when he went in the slave trade, that later on he actually became a slave to a slave. You can't get much lower than that. John Newton sunk down with such degradation, such sin. But you know something? When the ship was sinking, John Newton looked up and he said, "Oh God, save me." And after he prayed, "You get me through this, I will serve you the rest of my life." But the Lord touched the lips of John Newton. And the lips that once cursed now wrote words and sang. He could sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." You see, here, the same lips, but the lips were now sanctified. The lips had received the touch of God. And what was once sinning is now singing. And I may be speaking to somebody in our Bible class this morning, and you're not saved. The Lord wants to change you, and He wants to touch your heart and touch your life. Sometimes we forget in our Bible class, we assume that everybody is converted or saved. Maybe you are. And I'm not here speculating, and I don't look over the little Bible class and say, "Oh, you're here, and I'm not sure whether you're saved or not." I don't have time for that, because my mind sometimes is filled with so many thoughts, sometimes I don't even finish a thought. And Emily said, "What did you mean?" I said, "Well, help me out, honey. Which point of the message?" And she tells me, and I said, "Search me. I don't know what it was," because sometimes we're like that. And we have a lot of thoughts coming to our mind. I don't have time to look at you and to say, "What brother is here that needs it?" You know, the Spirit of the Lord knows what we need. And you may be here this morning and you're not a Christian, but I don't want to go through a Bible class and miss it. I don't want to become guilty before the Lord and say, "Frank, you had an opportunity to preach the gospel and you didn't do it." I just want you to know that He's here this morning and He wants to touch your heart. He wants to save you because He loves you very dearly. He cares for you. That's why He died on the cross. Oh, then may you listen to His voice this morning. And Christian, may I just admonish you too? You must listen for the voice of God. That He would, and ask Him to touch you. The reason why we don't discern the touch of God in our life is because we're listening to the wrong things and we're not, our ears are not attuned, you see, to the voice of God. And we want to be like Isaiah. He not only had his lips touched, but his ears were open and he listened and he went and he obeyed the command of God. An Indian man came out from the country visiting a white friend of his in the city, New York City. This really happened. Sounds kind of strange, but it really happened. And the Indian was walking with his friend and he says, "Oh, wait a minute. Now you haven't been, how many been to New York City? I've been there a few times. I don't even know how many. Let me tell you, it's a nauseous, horns are honking, people are trapping down the streets, and where they're going, you wonder sometimes. I mean, with such rapidity, New York is a real hustle and bustle of a city. And noisy." And this Indian, now listen, said, "Wait a minute, my friend." He says, "I hear a cricket." And the white man looked at him and said, "You hear a what?" "A cricket." He couldn't believe that this, his Indian friend, he says, "You're in New York City, my friend." "You know," he says, "I hear it." He kept walking and walking. And would you believe he came to a little shrub? And there was that cricket in that shrub making that noise. And he then turned to his friend, his Indian friend. He says, "How in the world were you able to hear that?" He says, "Well, the only thing I can say is it all depends what you're listening for." Now, I like that. Oh, I like that. The Indian's ears was already tuned to those things in nature and animals, you see. It was trained to that. And so he picked it up just like that. Now, I could be caught up in the hustle and bustle of a New York City world, right, as a Christian. I can be caught up in the hustle and bustle, and fishermen, forgive me, even with crawfish, you know. I can be caught up. What am I listening for? Cash register sound? What am I listening for in my life? Doesn't have to be the crawfish. Thank God for them, brother. If we didn't have them, this island would be in a mess. And I hope the Lord blesses you, and I hope things settle. But let us all be careful. Not just the fishermen, not just businessmen. All walks of life. What am I listening for? What am I listening to? Sometimes I feel tempted to make a little station break here and veer off the subject, but I won't. You'd be surprised. I will say this much. You'd be surprised how many people are always willing to give advice. And many times it's a wrong advice. Be careful what you listen to. You want your advice? Go to the Word of God. The Lord will not lead you astray. Get your advice from Him. Get your instruction from Him. Lest you really will have your life destroyed. Wisdom is from the book. Listen, what are you listening for? Do you want direction? Do you want sense of purpose in your life? Do you want to be used of the Lord? What am I listening for? You see, if I'm prepared to listen and let the Lord touch my ears and touch my lips and use my voice for His glory, He will do that. He will do that. Oh, I wish I could spend a little more time there, but I got to go on. There's also the touch of protection. I want to say this, and not because I am a preacher. The same thing is true if you're not careful with a believer, any believer. Ladies, we have no right to injure you. Husbands have no right to injure their wives. But there is a verse that comes very strongly. Twice, actually, you'll find it. You'll find it in Psalm 105, and you'll find it in the Chronicles, in Chronicles 16. Listen to this. The prophet, the wise judge says, "Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm." You'll find it in Psalm 105. Now, because I'm a preacher, I don't want you to think that, you can level criticisms at me. That shocks you? I don't mind if you criticize me because you felt that I did something wrong or said something wrong. I'm not talking about constructive criticism. You come to me and you say, "Brother Frank, I don't agree with you." I've had scores of people do that, and I appreciate it. Number one, it tells me that they're listening. You know what I mean? And they're following me. And if I make a mistake sometimes, and if they're not in agreement with it, that's okay. Criticism is good for all of us. Sometimes we get the impression that because we're believers, I'm talking about being critical in the sense of being constructive. I don't mean unkind criticism, foolish criticism, hurtful criticism, which never did help anybody or any person. But they were jibing the prophets of God. And I want to tell you something. That's why they were suffering a lot. That's why it says, "Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm." Be careful how you touch the servant of God. What is that? It's a very firm and stern warning in the Word of God. If you may disagree with the preacher, fine. You have that privilege. But be careful how you touch him. Be careful how you handle his name. Be careful how you handle his character. And this is true of us too. We have to be careful how we handle the characters of other people. In fact, we all need to be aware of this. We need to be careful. When the woman came to the preacher and said, "Oh, pastor," he says, "I made a terrible mistake." He says, "What do you mean?" And she explained how she damaged the character of this individual. And what can I do? You know what he done? He gave her a little bag of feathers. And he said, "I want you to go out. And he named a spot. And he said, "Now I want you to cast the feathers all over the place. And when the bag is empty, you come back to me." And she said, "What for?" He said, "You just do what I said." And so she said, "Okay." Told the minister, "I'll do that." Because she was so broken in her heart, she knew she was wrong, you see. And finally, when she came back, he said, "Okay, where's the bag?" He says, "Right here. They're all gone." He said, "Now I want you to take the bag I want you to go around and pick up every feather that you threw out and let go to the wind. She said, that's impossible. He says, exactly. Now, even though you're repenting, even though you're sorry, the Lord's remember, and by the way, it doesn't have to be a woman. Brethren, this is, maybe we got more men guilty of this in Spanish Wells than women. And so I'm not, please understand me, I am not throwing stones at anybody. You get up under the cork trees and coffee shops, you want to hear something that shot me to your bones. You know. So, what I'm saying is a reality. You need to be careful, very, very careful. So it could be any one of us. Just remember, while it is difficult to pick up the feathers, it is difficult to regather a lot of things and damage that we do, damage that I have done, and I am the first one. We have to be so careful. I think of dear Jacob now, I hurry on, and dear Jacob, when he could no longer run, when he could no longer hide, when he saw his brother coming in the distance, and you know the story well, don't you? He had him up against the corner, up against the wall, as it were. And Jacob realized all of his family and all of his livestock. And you know what flashed in his mind? All of these things I'm going to lose in a moment of time. He was scared. And he did the right thing. What did he do? He got on his knees and he began to pray. He didn't pray for an hour, right? He prayed all night. Boy, what a prayer that must have been. Ah, but you know something? In all of his fears and all the things that he was so desperately scared of, finally, when the Lord said, let me go, Jacob. And Jacob says, I will not let thee go until you what? Bless me. Oh, I love that. I love that. And the Lord says, okay, what is your name? He didn't expect that. He says, my name is Cheat. It was hard for Jacob to admit that because that's what Jacob means. Jacob means supplanter, conniver, cheat. You see? He said, what is your name? And Jacob had to confess. And that's where we all begin with confession. Isn't it nice to know if we confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Jacob says, oh, Lord, I am a cheat. I am a cheat. He confessed, you see. And there he was holding on for dear life. And he staggers now with weakness because the word had come and penetrated his heart and his soul. What is your name? My name is cheat. My name is conniver. My name is supplanter. And the Lord said, your name shall no longer be Jacob. I'm going to change you. I'm going to clean you. I'm going to wash you. You're going to be different, Jacob. Your name from now on is going to be Israel. What does Israel mean? A prince with God. You see what happened? How God changed him. But listen, the Lord touched him, right? Touched him on his thigh as a mark. And he halted on his leg for the rest of his life. He had a halt. Or he was limping. He was limping. So what? It didn't cripple him. But it was just to mark the fact that the Lord had touched him. It touched his feet. Oh, may God touch our feet, our legs today to go and walk his way in the walk of righteousness, in the walk of the steps of the Lord. A righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. But he had to have that touch first. And God touched him. Oh, beloved, have you been touched lately? Oh, yes, well, Frank, I'm saved. Wonderful. I don't mean that. Have you been in his presence and you've been praying and you've been pleading with the Lord and he felt so preciously near and you felt his touch? I have no reason to doubt that you have. But we sure need to ask and cry to God, Lord, touch me. I want to be used of you. I want to be different. I want the power of God to be in my life. I want to be more effective for you as a Christian. I don't want to go through just the norm of life. I don't want to go through a ritual or a formality. But I want you to put a divine infusion of love in my heart and of power in my heart. More light, more interest, more desire in the things of God, in the Word of God, and in prayer. Lord, touch me! Oh, what a prayer that would be today. And the wonderful thing about it is all of us can have that touch this morning if you haven't already had it. It should be the cry and prayer of our hearts all of the time. Sometimes we're always worried about the other person. Don't be concerned about the other person. Always be concerned about me, about you, you see. It's a relationship and fellowship with the Lord that we want to enjoy. Peter made that mistake. He said, when the Lord had already dealt with Peter, Peter looked and he saw John. He said, and Lord, and what about John? When Jesus predicted how Peter would die, Peter says, and what about John? What did the Lord Jesus say? What is that to thee, Peter? Follow thou me. Get our focus on the Lord. Follow me. You may not be popular. But you follow the Lord, you'll be popular with God. That's the main thing. Once we're right with the Lord, and you may not be popular with others, it doesn't matter. Popularity with the Lord comes first. And he will help us. And oh my, there's so much. Look at Thomas. We could just go on and on. You remember Thomas? When they said, the Lord is risen, Thomas said, I don't believe it. Would you believe that Christians can be unbelievers? I don't mean unbelievers in the sense that we're not saved. But sometimes we doubt his word. You know, we're unbelievers in the sense we don't have enough faith to trust him and believe what he says in the book that he's able to perform. Thomas said, I won't believe until I see it with my eyes, take my hand, thrust it in his side. Remember the story, don't you? They call him Doubting Thomas. Most of us call him Unbelieving Thomas. He says, I will not believe. Okay? He didn't say, I doubt it very much, brethren. He didn't say that. And so you know the story well. When the Lord finally appeared to Thomas in such graciousness, he said, and Thomas, reach hither your hand and thrust it into my side. I don't really believe he ever did it myself. I have a feeling that he just, when he saw that, he felt so convicted. He fell before the Lord, and what did he say? My Lord and my God. I have a feeling that the Lord touched him there and then. Thomas became one of the greatest missionaries to India. Very seldom preachers tell you this, but he became a martyr in later years out in India because he gave his life for the Lord. He had a touch from God. Shall we bow? Our heads bowed. I'm not going to ask you to file out, but you may be here this morning and you just want a touch of God in your life. And just before we go to prayer, and just quietly slip your hand up, remember me in prayer. I need a closer walk with the Lord. I need to be used of Him in a greater way. Pray for me, Brother Frank. I'm not going to call you by name. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to ask you to stand. It's just deep down in your heart, you know your need. And it's going to be with confidence, every eye closed, every head bowed. I won't tell people you put your hand up. No. I just want to be one with you. I want you to know that we have a mind with you. And we care and we love you. Just quietly right now. Lord, I want to be used in a greater way. God bless you. God bless you. Are there any others? Quickly, because time is running out. Lord, I want to walk with you. I want a closer walk with you. I want to know that your hand is upon me and upon my life. Remember me this day. Lord, as we bow in your presence, you know our hearts, and all of us need a divine touch of your grace and of your power. We want to be more used by you. We want to be in a place where we could touch other lives for your glory. For the dear ones of God that expressed it visibly, and for those that didn't express it visibly, you know their hearts. It doesn't mean that they're less spiritual. We're not here to implant laws or legislate even these actions, Lord, but we just pray that we'll be one together, one with the other. These hearts who need a closer walk with you. And for those of God who have real need this morning. In your mercy and your kindness, we pray that you'll meet it, Lord, and you'll bless them. Oh, God, just help us that as we have been touched by you, that we'll go out and touch another life for your glory. Bless our little class today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.